Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, March 4, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, University of Illinois, Jean Driscoll's Homecoming, Happy Return, Olympic Hall of Famer Excited to Be Back, by Bob Asmussen, Champaign. Jean Driscoll always figured she would return to the University of Illinois, just not as soon as it happened. On January 6, a little more than 2 years after she left for a job at North Carolina State, the 8-time Boston Marathon champion became assistant dean for advancement in the College of Applied Health Sciences. It's a job I had three jobs ago, she said from her office on the third floor of the Armory. Her primary role is to lead the fundraising efforts for the college, which means building and maintaining relationships with alumni and donors. When she had the job earlier in her career, Driscoll's office was in Huff Hall. Being in the Armory works just as well. I get out and meet with people all across the country, Driscoll said. This is where I send emails and make phone calls from. I am close to Huff. We just go across the street. In her new job, Driscoll travels at least 1 week each month. I like that, she said. I like the in-office and out-of-the-office time. I wouldn't want to be in the same place all the time, but I don't want to be on the road all the time either. It's a nice balance. In November 2017, the Illinois graduate left for North Carolina State, where she'd been hired to lead fundraising for the College of Design. Driscoll, 53, enjoyed her time in Raleigh and planned a longer stay. I needed to know that I could be successful someplace outside Champaign-Urbana, she said. I am a known quantity here, and so I needed to know that my skill set was such that I could connect with people who didn't know who I am and don't know about my success. I knew I needed to get out of my comfort zone in order to grow. Mission accomplished. What she called record fundraising years made it easier to consider coming home. Illinois administrators had recruited Driscoll for her current job. It feels good to be wanted, said Driscoll, who expects to work another 10 to 15 years. The goal now is the same it's always been, to make a difference. Though her racing days are over, she remains competitive. Higher education is really important to me, she said. It's why I can do this work. Raising money so kids can stay in college with scholarships or providing funding for the best and brightest, I get to help contribute to making the world a better place. A Badger State native, Driscoll originally attended Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Then U of I wheelchair basketball coach Brad Hedrick saw her there and started recruiting her. I thought, Illinois? Wisconsin doesn't like Illinois. I'm not going to Illinois, Driscoll said. He was persistent, and I was delighted somebody wanted me on their team. I was always the last kid picked. She moved to the U of I in 1987, where she earned her undergraduate degree in speech communication and her master's in rehabilitation administration. Any regrets about the choice? Never. I can't give a speech without talking about the University of Illinois, she said. This place changed my life. It has had a lifelong impact. I love it. I'm passionate about it. And it's what makes doing this kind of work even more meaningful. Driscoll began competing in marathons in the late 1980s and was an immediate hit, winning her first Boston Marathon title in 1990. She strung together 7 consecutive championships, then finished second 3 years in a row before winning her 8th and final Boston Marathon in 2000. Driscoll is coming up on the 20-year anniversary of her last race. She won the gold medal at the 2000 Paralympics in Sydney. She doesn't miss it. The fire inside to train and compete at the level I was starting to wane, she said. It's what I knew. I understand why it's hard for some athletes to retire because of the structure. The continued success of the U of I wheelchair athletes is a point of pride for Driscoll. She is a donor and supporter of the U of I wheelchair sports program. She works out but doesn't train. There will be no comeback tour. Been there, done that, she said. She continues to hear about her athletic success. After her interview at NC State, the chair of the search committee said, "It's pretty cool that you're in the U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame. Why don't you tell us about your career?" The USOC is building a museum in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Driscoll sent the racing chair from her eighth Boston win. Coronavirus outbreak. Safety measures in place for voters. By Deborah Pressey Urbana. Doing your civic duty means you'll be touching pens and surfaces other people touch and standing well within germ-spreading distance of others. But some election officials have already considered that polling places could be among those public spots where the virus that causes coronavirus disease, COVID-19, could spread. At least two county clerks' offices in the area, in Champaign and Vermilion counties, are taking precautions. "We're taking it pretty seriously," said Champaign County Chief Deputy Clerk Angela Patton. That office had already developed an emergency management plan for elections that includes flu and pandemic scenarios, she said. So all polling places and early voting places locations in Champaign County are being supplied with hand sanitizer, masks, antibacterial wipes, gloves, and Lysol disinfectant spray, she said. Election judges are being asked to wipe down pens and other surfaces as time allows, and they're welcome to wear protective masks and gloves if they want, Patton said. The clerk's office is also hoping to provide some signs at polling places advising voters to take precautions to prevent infection spread, for example, covering up their coughs, she said. Even if COVID-19 isn't circulating in the community come election day, Patton said, it's been an extended flu season. "We're just erring on the side of caution," she said. The Champaign County Clerk's Office also trained for some extra election judges for the primary, Patton said, and that will come in handy because a couple of judges have already indicated they'd be more comfortable not serving for the upcoming election. Vermilion County is also taking steps. Lindsay Light, Chief Deputy Clerk and Supervisor of Elections for that county, said polling places will be supplied for the first time with antibacterial wipes for the primary election, and judges are being asked to wipe down pens and surfaces as they can. "This precaution was requested by an election judge," Light said, "and it definitely wouldn't hurt." These steps are in line with guidelines recently posted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 at polling places. The CDC is advising cleaning and disinfecting voting machines, laptops, keyboards, and other equipment, making sure bathrooms at polling places are supplied with soap, water, and drying materials so voters can wash their hands, and providing alcohol-based hand sanitizer for use before and after voting. Transmission of the virus occurs most frequently among close contacts within 6 feet through respiratory droplets, but current evidence also suggests it may remain viable for hours to days on certain surfaces, according to the CDC. Murder Trial of Dangelis Chambers, Fight Triggered Shooting by Mary Schenck, Urbana. A 21-year-old woman told a jury Tuesday that she tried to keep the father of her child from fighting with her sister's boyfriend outside an Urbana apartment building 14 months ago. Danica Carlton said both her boyfriend, Renice Riley, 30, and her sister's boyfriend, Dangelis Chambers, 29, were punching each other outside the apartment the sisters shared at 2008 Vauter Street when Chambers pulled a gun and shot Riley. The single shot to Riley's chest went through both lungs and his heart, leading to his death less than an hour later at Carle Foundation Hospital. "I was trying my best to keep them from fighting," Carlton said in a recorded statement to police that was played for the jury in Chambers' trial on charges of first-degree murder. "My sister kept saying, 'Let them fight, let them fight.'" The jury was picked Monday, and testimony began Tuesday before Judge Roger Weber. Public defender Janie Miller-Jones and one of her assistants, Matt Hamm, represent Chambers. Assistant State's Attorney Scott Larson and Joel Fletcher are prosecuting him. Carlton told police that Chambers was the boyfriend of her sister, Demetia Carlton, and that the three of them lived together. Early on December 30, 2018, she said Chambers came to her room to talk, and they began arguing loudly, so much so that a neighbor called police. Urbana police officer Oliver Marquez said he responded at 1:45 a.m., but was not allowed in by Demetia Carlton. Determining no one was hurt, he left, only to return about 2:30 a.m., when the neighbor called about a fight outside. Danica Carlton said after arguing with Chambers, she phoned Mr. Riley to come get her and their child. "I never wanted them to fight. I just wanted to pack so we could leave," she told police. She said Mr. Riley stood outside the locked gate leading to the stairs to the second floor apartments and yelled up at Chambers, challenging him to come out and fight. Danica Carlton said she tried to calm Mr. Riley while keeping Chambers and her sister from going past the locked gate. Instead, they pushed past her and went to a car. Chambers came right back and the two men squared up and began punching each other with fists, both of them landing several blows. One of Mr. Riley's eyes swelled shut. Chambers fell on his knee. He got up like he wanted to fight again, then he extended his arm out and he shot Mr. Riley, Danica Carlton said. "I didn't know it was real." Renice turned around and started walking, and blood was coming out of his chest. Danica Carlton said her sister and Chambers then left in the car. Urbana Police Sergeant Matthew McKinney, the first officer to arrive after the shooting, said he found Mr. Riley face down in a pool of blood. Trying to find the source of the bleeding, McKinney turned Mr. Riley on his side and found a small pistol in blood and dirt directly underneath his chest and abdomen. Mr. Riley was taken to Carle, where he died about 36 minutes after arrival. The neighbor in a third-floor apartment who called police the first time said the noise died down, but she heard screaming again about 2:30 a.m. coming from the outside. Testifying through a Spanish translator, the woman said she couldn't understand all that was being said, but heard very angry voices and a woman yelling, "Stop!" She looked out a window of her apartment to the area below and clearly saw the fight between the men. While the woman did not know the men, she referred to Mr. Riley as the man who wore a green jacket prior to the fight. Danica Carlton said Mr. Riley had removed his jacket and hoodie before confronting Chambers. The woman also confirmed seeing the man who was fighting with Mr. Riley with a gun at his right side that he used to shoot Mr. Riley from only a few feet away. The shooter then got in a car with a woman and left, she said. Although Miller Jones said in pre-trial hearings that Chambers might assert self-defense, Ham made no mention of that in his opening statement. He merely cautioned jurors to keep an open mind and hold the state to its burden of proof. The trial is expected to continue through Thursday. From the local section, from the court beat, Mary Shank's first report on two upcoming judge vacancies. 12 attorneys have applied to become the next two circuit judges in Champaign County. They are seeking appointment to the seats that will be vacated by the retirements of Jeff Ford and Heidi Ladd. Ford plans to leave the bench after this month after 35 years of service, and Ladd in early July. She has been on the bench since 1999. Interviews for the lawyers, many of whom have sought appointment in the past, will begin later this month after Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman has completed the High Court's work for March. Whomever is chosen will have to run for election to the respective resident judgeships in 2022. This means they will run for election only in Champaign County and not in the other five counties in the circuit, DeWitt, Douglas, Macon, Moultrie, and Piatt. After a circuit judge is elected, voters have the chance every 6 years to say if that person should stay in office. The two appointed judges will be joined December 1 by two other judges who are running in the November election. Those candidates want the seat that Tom DeFantis will leave when he retires in November after 25 years as a judge, and the seat that Michael Jones retired from in 2018 after 22 years. John Boehm, Republican, and Scott Lerner, Democrat, are the only two candidates on the ballot for DeFantis's circuit-wide seat. Currently running in the Democratic primary for Jones's resident judgeship are Troy Lozar, David Moore, Ramona Sullivan, and Ruth Wyman. The winner will face Republican Cherilyn Cherry Kessler in November. The applicants for Ford and Ladd seats and the cities in which their offices are located: Sammy Anderson, Champaign, private practice; Chad Beckett, Urbana, private practice; Ellen Bullock, Champaign, private practice; Benjamin Dyer, Urbana, assistant public defender; Joel Fletcher, Urbana, assistant state's attorney; Kessler, Savoy, private practice; Ronald Langacre, Urbana, private practice; Sam Limitato, Champaign, private practice; Curtis Lovelace, Champaign, private practice; Lozar, Urbana, assistant state's attorney; Moore, Urbana, private practice; Mark Palmer, Chicago, Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism. Circuit judges in Illinois currently earn $202,433. Capital News Illinois. No room in bar for Blagojevich. Panel. Disbar ex-governor. By Peter Hancock, Springfield. A board that oversees the discipline of Illinois attorneys recommended Tuesday that former Governor Rod Blagojevich be disbarred. The Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission said in an order that Blagojevich has not acknowledged that his conduct was wrongful or expressed any remorse, and that his failure to appear for his disciplinary hearing demonstrates a lack of respect for the disciplinary process and the legal profession. The former governor, who received his law degree from Pepperdine University, was released from federal prison last month after President Donald Trump commuted the remaining 6 years of his 14-year sentence for pay-to-play charges. Last year, as rumors swirled of a possible early release, the ARDC administrator filed a motion for further disciplinary action against Blagojevich, whose right to practice law had been indefinitely suspended by the Illinois Supreme Court in 2011. The ARCD held a hearing on the motion February 25, shortly after Blagojevich's release. He did not appear at the hearing. Blagojevich has 21 days to appeal the finding, an ARDC spokesman said. Coronavirus. Peoria Diocese suspends communion from chalice, by Ben Zichterman, Peoria. In light of the spreading coronavirus, the Catholic Diocese of Peoria, which stretches from Danville to Moline and includes much of the Champaign-Urbana area, is suspending communion from the chalice. In a letter Tuesday, Bishop Daniel Jenke urged parishes to use prudence, both because of the flu season and the coronavirus. Although, because of the alcohol content in the outward sign of the wine largely eliminates any danger of contagion, it still seems wise to take this precaution, he wrote. Please remember that it is a doctrine of our faith that the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord is truly and substantially present under either form of receiving the Blessed Sacrament. Parishes are also urged to receive the bread on the hand rather than on the tongue, Jenke said. If people insist on receiving Holy Communion on the tongue, they should take great care to open their mouths widely and extend their tongues as far as possible so as not to pass saliva from person to person, Jenke said. Earlier generations were well trained on how to receive on the tongue, but this is clearly much less true today. Jenke also said that parishioners greeting each other should do so with a smile or a wave rather than a handshake or a hug, a common recommendation during the flu season. And on Good Friday, Jenke said, the faithful are urged to bless themselves before the Holy Cross rather than reverence it with a kiss. He also urged parishioners to take basic precautions, such as frequently washing hands and staying at home if sick. There is, of course, no obligation for the sick to be at Mass, he wrote. There are now more than 90,000 cases of the COVID-19 disease, which began in China and has spread to more than 70 countries. There have been 4 confirmed cases in Illinois, all in the Chicago area. Joan Griffiths, 2020 Census Forms Around the Bend. The U.S. Constitution mandates that a census of the U.S. population be taken every 10 years. The first population census was taken in 1790. By April 1, 2020, most households in the U.S. will have received an invitation delivered by mail or a census taken to respond online, by phone, or by mail to the 2020 census. Once households receive invitations, early response is requested. Visit tinyurl.com/WD6BKEE to read Dick Eastman's report on this historic event, including a timeline of how and when the Census Bureau will proceed. A sample questionnaire can be found at tinyurl.com www.wm2nt37. Genealogists should be sure to make a copy of his or her family's data, since that information will not become public for 72 years in 2092. Champaign City Council, deal to annex school district's land on Olympian Drive okayed. By Ben Zichterman, Champaign. About 40 acres of farmland, once intended to be the site of the new Central High School on Olympian Drive, has been annexed into the City of Champaign. The City Council approved the annexation agreement Tuesday with the Champaign School District, which believes the land could be sold to a developer, though the city said nothing is imminent. The thinking is to try to maximize the potential value of this land, said the district's attorney, Patrick Fitzgerald. Down the road, maybe a developer would want to acquire the land, and then those funds could be converted to more direct school-related uses. The annexation allows for the extension of Neal Street if a development is built, and rezones the land for a mix of residential uses. Another 40 acres the district owns on Interstate Drive is already part of the city and is restricted to educational uses, Fitzgerald said. The prior school board entered into an agreement with the Atkins family, who was the seller, that said the only thing this 40 acres could be used for was a high school, he said. After the 2016 referendum, whose projects did not use that land, was approved, the board went back to the Atkins family, he said, and it agreed to loosen the restrictions, allowing for a middle school, elementary school, administration building, or athletic fields at the site. Unit 4 bought both tracts of land in 2014 for a total of $3.2 million. League's legacy. Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin and Champaign Mayor Deb Finan issue a proclamation at the Woman's Hour, the Great Fight to Win the Vote, book discussion, and local history displays Tuesday at the Urbana Free Library. The League of Women Voters of Champaign County is celebrating 100 years with a year-long collaboration with the Museum of the Grand Prairie and the Champaign County Historical Archives. Area history. In 1920, Dr. D. Dwight Sloan of Nanking, China, speaking on the progress of Western medicine and public health movements in China under the auspices of the Omega Beta Pi fraternity, stated that the present public health conditions in China were due to the superstition and ignorance of people and poor sanitary conditions. He spoke of the eagerness of Chinese students to study medicine and to apply knowledge in the hospitals there. The Chinese have genius and adaptability for medicine and are always willing to learn, he said. In 1970, about 300 Illinois National Guardsmen cleared 3,000 to 5,000 protesting University of Illinois students from the street. It was cleared with a sweep of guardsmen carrying rifles and led by jeeps with barbed wire fences across their front. The mayors of Champaign and Urbana mayors had declared a 10:30 p.m. curfew. Students were protesting recruiters from General Electric Company being on campus because of the corporation's work for the Defense Department. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, March 4, 2020. Please stay tuned.